Introspection. Section 6, 1 through 6. Responding, acting on what I hear. During our introspection discussions, we have talked about many aspects of introspection. Stillness for introspection, listening within, playing the game, imagination, hearing within, and now, responding and acting on what I hear. Responding and acting on what I hear from the divine within me is perhaps the most responsive and beautiful thing that we could ever think about in our entire life. It's the most exciting thing that we could ever know in all of our life, because it is the most pure, the most innocent, the most gentle, and the most significant experience that we could ever have in our life. Whenever you feel exceptionally good within yourself, whenever I feel exceptionally good within myself, it's because I am right with the world. I am harmonious with the world. I am peace with the world. Now, when you're right with the world, at peace and harmonious with the world, it means just one thing. The world does not touch you. You are not intimidated by the world. You are not in any way touched by the world, possessed by the world. You see, when we reach this high level of awareness, this high level of consciousness, we reach a level of awareness where nothing in the outer has any effect on us. Oh, we are not blind to the outer. We are not ignorant to what goes on in the world about us that we have created. But we now know with certainty that we are in charge of every single thing that takes place in our life. And because we know with certainty that we're in charge, we take charge. But we don't take charge manipulatively. We don't take charge in an effort to change others or to change the world, not even to change ourselves. We take charge by knowing that as we choose to have peace in our world, we are peaceful. As we choose to have harmony in our world, we are harmonious. As we choose to have love in our world, we are loving. I am illumined through my introspection. I am illumined through my introspection. As I listen to the divine within me, I am uplifted to the heights beyond all imagination. The experiences that the Buddha had, the experiences that Jesus had in 40 days and 40 nights. These are illuminations beyond any words. If you ever take the opportunity to do sincere introspective meditation, it can be for 1 minute. Yes, it can. It can be for 10 minutes, an hour, a day, a week, a month, 3 months, 4 months. It doesn't matter. It only matters that you give yourself 100% to this. Our 3-hour meditation trains us in this light just a little bit, but we find it too demanding, too overwhelming to enter into the 3-hour meditation. This is why so many people would love it. And the wonderful thing about the 3-hour meditation, it's written down in a booklet. And you can take that booklet and you can read it and you can say, yes, I have read the 3-hour meditation. Yes, I know what the determinations are for the 3-hour meditations and how it functions. But have you done it? Have you sincerely done the 3-hour meditations for the period of 6 months that it calls for, or whatever term that it calls for? Have you sincerely done it? Have you sincerely been the most beautiful, sensitive, caring person in the entire universe? This is not something that we can only wish for. We do wish for it, for sure. But it is something that we apply, because we are the ones who put it into motion. We put it into practice. We are the ones who utilize it. And we are the ones who get the benefit from it. I know every time I sit quietly and I listen to the rumble of the world around me, and I withdraw from that rumble of the world around me and listen only to the center of peace within myself. The rumble of the world around me doesn't make any difference. It doesn't make any difference whether I am alive or dead. I am untouched by the world around me. And when I am untouched by the world around me, the world cannot affect me in any way. I can be in the center of a storm. I can be in the center of violence. I can be in the center of any type of activity. And you say, well, why bother being there? Why put yourself into it? Well, I don't put myself into it specifically for that purpose. I put myself into it because I allow the world around me to be whatever it wants to be, and I live in my own inner peace. And as I live in my inner peace, I cannot be touched by the world around me. Whatever difficulty there may be, I am untouched by it, because I live in this inner peace. There may be an avalanche, and I may be in the center of it, but because I'm in my inner peace, I am one of those that you read about who walk out. I may be in a boat lost in the ocean, but I am one of those who is found. Not because I'm so great, but because I'm so humble. It takes such humility to believe in the principle and know that the principle does indeed function for whatever it is that we want it to function. I am illumined through my introspection. That illumination covers everything. Well, why have any problems in your life at all if you have the introspective illumination that will see you through it? Why have the problem in the first place? We have the problem in the first place as our own little testing time to see how well we are able to live the principle. Now, you don't say, I will not do mathematics because they are difficult, or I will not play a piece on the music on my instrument which is difficult. The more difficult the piece, the more challenging it is to my genius to play it, the more glorious I feel having played it and having achieved the nuances that the piece requires of me. Living in difficult times and difficult circumstances is not living in difficult circumstances. It is merely being tested in a way that I can handle anything. I can work with anything. I know how to do it. It does not become a terror of the night for me. It becomes an excitement as I put the cause into motion and as I put the activity into force for myself as a divine activity, as a loving, genius, glorious activity that is so fantastic that I just cannot imagine how I would have not done just those same things. I am illumined through my introspection. I see the world through illumined eyes. No matter what I see, I don't see it as a great difficulty. Again, the more difficult the piece of music, the more of my genius it requires to play it. I do not think of the music as something that is twisting me, that is making me into an evil or an ugly being, into something that is undesirable, but rather the very magnificence of the music that requires the ultimate of my performance makes me a more magnificent musician. And as we go through our life, and as we stand up to the experiences in our life, to the things that we see. We stand up to them. Not that we want to say they are good or bad, but we stand up to them and we always remain true to the principle within us. And the principle within us says, whatever I see, that is what goes on in my heart. That's what goes on in my life. So when I see something in the outer, I immediately am responsible for it. I immediately see it exactly how I wish to see it. I do not go over and say, now, I want you to cooperate because I'm seeing you in this certain way. Now, you must cooperate this way. No, you don't do that. I am the creator of all, you know, my own eyes, my own heart, and my own world. And so therefore, as I look at anything, what is it that I look at? I may look at a terrifying situation. I may look at a car as it veers toward a tree and the occupants are going to be damaged or hurt in some way if it hits the tree. And I can look at that and say, oh dear, what a terrible thing is underway. Or, I have no control, I have no power. Or, all is in divine order. All is in divine order. I don't say the car should or should not touch the tree. I do not say that people will or will not be hurt. I say all is in divine order. And divine order does not call for anyone to be injured at any time. Divine order does not cause any object to be injured, like a car hitting the tree. It does not call for that at any time. Divine order does not call for anything except divine order. That which is proper and good for its universal experience. We have the courage to see everything in divine order and be untouched by the limitations that appear about us? Are we strong enough to be the magnificent beings that we are and always standing up firm and strong and powerful to every experience that comes into our life? This is what it means to be illumined. This is what it means to have introspection at its peak. We listen to the divine within. We listen to the ultimate of whom we are. We listen, we listen, we listen, and then we not only listen, we respond and we act on what I hear and what we hear. We are the creators of our world by how we act and respond on what we hear. I see the world through illumined eyes. As I see the world through illumined eyes, all is in divine order. As I see the world through illumined eyes, all is peace. All is harmony. I do not look at the world and seek to change it. I do not look at the world and seek to improve it. I do not look at my own life and seek to do anything about it. I only look at everything I look at and see all is in divine order. All is harmony. All is peace. All is love. This test comes into the life of every being. This is part of the construction of life in itself. Not the testing. Not the testing so much. But the ability to see whatever it is that is our divine prerogative. To see whatever it is that is our divine reality. To see whatever it is that is our choice. We can moan and groan over the problems of life, and they will just exacerbate and grow and become utterly intolerable for us. And we may do silly things, but when we stop being pushed around by the outer experiences and effects of our life, and take charge of our every thought, our every word, our every action, then we are harmonious. We are peace. We might look at people who sit in meditation and all about them is conflict. And we think, what lousy people. They are not getting up and doing something. They are not changing the world. They are not improving the world. They are not taking care of the problems of the world. They're just sitting there and letting everybody else do it. And yet, when the last understanding is given, those who sat in meditation, seeing the world in harmony and peace, seeing all in divine order, they are the peacemakers. They are the peace givers. They are the ones who are the ones who bring forth all that is ever done or ever will be done. My brother was in the Air Corps in Japan, and he told of visiting a monastery high up on the mountainside. And high up on the mountainside, the monastery had monks who were very ordinary monks, wore their minimum costume, and were always at peace within themselves. And they would come to town once a day, and they would go from home to home with their begging bowl, and they would ask for food. And the people in these homes who had virtually nothing for themselves would always find some food to give to these begging monks, these mendicant monks. And the mendicant monks would go back up on the mountainside with the food that they gathered, sometimes a lot, sometimes a little, and they would make their meals out of it. And then they would pray for the people in the village below. And they would see them living in harmony, living in peace, living in abundance, living in joy, living a life of magnificence. And the next day they would go back, and the people, with the same givingness of the very littleness that they had, they gave freely because they knew these monks were praying for them, and they believed the prayers of these monks were wonderful. The people in that village, and perhaps in every village who has a monastery up above it, and the monks come down to beg, the people in that village felt more at peace. They felt above the clamor of the world. They felt in harmony. And when my brother first told me the story, I thought to myself, why don't those monks go down and help the people? Why don't they go down and help them till their gardens? Why don't they go down and help them do their work? And I thought, how strange that these monks would just beg and not do anything physical for these people. But as my maturity grew in the awareness of what was happening, I realized the monks gave the people of this community a greater gift than any of their physical labor could have been, a greater gift than any of their participation in their activities could have been for them. The monks saw these people abundant. They saw them harmonious. They saw them peaceful. They saw them enjoying one another in relationships that were ideal, and were a testing made of the people in that community. Were a survey taken, we'd find that that group of people lived in greater peace and harmony and love and joy and greater abundance than anyone else, because the monks prayed that these people experienced harmony, peace, abundance, right action, wholeness, all of the good things that were desirable. And it works. The wonderful thing about this introspection, listening within and playing the game, hearing it and responding to it, is that it works. This is the glorious thing. It works. I hear the world through illumined ears. Every word I hear spoken is a word of peace and love and joy. Every thought that comes into my mind is a thought of peace and love and joy. Some monasteries have people in them who are unhappy. And the people who are in the monastery are unhappy, and visitors who come to the monastery say, why are they unhappy? Everything is so glorious here. It's such a paradise. Everything is so beautiful. They have everything. Why are they unhappy? And the only answer is, they haven't taken their final exam. They haven't taken their final exam of realizing just how wonderful they are, of realizing that they are divine, that they live from the divine center within them. Now, you say, there are monks in a monastery who have such a problem? Don't feel so self-righteous. You, in your home, and I, in my home, we are faced every day by these same circumstances. We are faced every day by the call that people say, let us go out and take care of the ecology of the world. Let us go out and bring peace among the nations of the world. Let us go out and function as individuals who are doing something specific to bring about a harmony, a peace, a love, abundance, a wholeness for humanity that so sorely desires it. And that's not the way it works. It is good to do beautiful things. It is good to be helpful to your neighbor. It is good to do all these things. But like the monks on the mountainside who prayed for the people of the village, the people of the village didn't say, I know the monks are praying for me, so I'm feeding them. But the people of the village feed the monks because their generous spirit causes them to give more than they could ever hope to receive back. They give because they know these monks believe in what they're doing. And they know that the monks are fine people. And they know the monks are expressing much of the love, joy, peace, harmony, and wholeness that they would like to express. And so they associate with that, if only in their givingness. If we could associate with that only in our givingness, the unhappiness we have in ourselves would fade away more quickly than anything we could ever imagine. The unhappiness of the things we hear would cease to be. And rather than the notes of war, that there's war in the world, there's inharmony in the world, there's lack in the world, we would turn those thoughts around in our mind instantly as we hear them. All is in divine order. All is in divine order. There is but one presence and one power in the universe, and that presence and power is the universal God, active everywhere, through everything. Jesus had a word for it. He said, if I be lifted up, all the world will be lifted up unto me. So as we speak our word and are lifted up into the consciousness of purity and goodness and truth, all the world is lifted up unto that consciousness of purity, goodness and truth. And it's not something we've done. It's something that we are. It's something that we are within ourselves. And it is not an outer action, it's not an outer experience, it's an inner experience. And the inner experience knows no other solution than to be itself. The inner experience knows no other solution than to be the fulfillment of everything that it has within. Ah, yes, introspection. Introspection is something so glorious and so easy to accomplish. It's just a matter of turning our attention to it regularly. And you say, sure, it's easy, sure, but hey, just a minute now, before we get all bent out of shape. It's easy, like it is for a mother to train a child to do the practicing on his instrument. Now, son, you go in there and you practice a half an hour every day. Every day you go in there and you practice. and the rest of the family has to hear that caterwauling of the practice. They have to hear the noise of this imperfect music being struck out of this instrument, whether it be the voice, whether it be a violin or an accordion or piano or anything else. Day after day, it sounds in a raucous way. But the mother knows that as she persists in having her child practice, the practice will bear fruit. It will not make the piano better. It will not make music better, but it will make better music. You see, the thing is, when we listen within, when we follow that divine within, we practice, practice, practice. And the dedicated, sincere being who practices with all their heart and soul is like the monk who practices with all his heart and soul. Though the world about him may not be as glorious as he'd like it to be, he may not have enough heat in his cell or in his room, he may not have running water, he may not have the facilities that he would like to have, he may not have lovely people surrounding him, he may have grouchy monks who were not quite making it, they're not practicing the way they should, he may have a limited amount of food, he may die an early death, and he may live an eternity. But whatever he does, he knows that the introspection he is seeking is within himself, and it is worth every effort he makes to bring it about in his life. He makes every effort to bring it about in his life. The child who practices diligently with a little bit of self-discipline themselves, as well as the discipline of their mother and their teacher, arises to great heights of self-satisfaction. They may play publicly, and the people may ooh and ah what they have done, but the self-satisfaction, the feeling that they have done it themselves, is the more wonderful, the more fabulous experience that anyone could ever have. We're on that road right now. We're on that pathway. I live in the world an illumined divine being. I live in the world an illumined divine being. I live in the world an illumined divine being. I live in the world an illumined divine being. I live in the world an illumined divine being. I live in the world an illumined divine being. All is in divine order. All is peace. All is harmony. All is love. All is goodness. All the days of my life, I will share this idea with whoever wants to listen. I will give my peace unto all the world. And if they take it, fine. If they don't take it, fine. I will live that peace. If anyone wants the joy and the goodness that I'm benefited and privileged to know, they might walk the same path I do, listening within, being grateful and satisfied that all is within, and that every thought I think, every action I make, every attitude I do, is predicated on the idea that all is good and very good. All is peace and perfect peace. All is wonder and fulfillment of that wonder. I like me, I like me, I like me, I like me. I sing praises to the divine that dwells in me. For surely there is no other where that I can look for the divine that dwells in me. For the divine that dwells in me is me, and I am it. So my beloveds, walk your path of introspection. There's stillness, listening within, playing the game, imagination, hearing within, and responding and acting on what I hear. I love you, I love you, I love you.